Get the latest sports in 1 hour. It's Crunch Time, weekdays from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. And now,
check this out.
It's Crunch Time with Steve Tannen.
They think he's a righteous dude.
When I win.
Live from the Papa John's studio.
Wait a minute. Let me get CB on the line. We're green-lighting it. It's a call.
And I want full air support. I want tanks and some fire throwers. And I want explosions over here. And I want planes going. Cool.
Are they
going
to bust in here and arrest us?
It's Crunch Time on 95.3 The Score.
And we welcome you to today. I feel like we could call it a Friday in name only. And it's just, you know, in these times, it's okay, there's a 24-hour period. You wake up, put on the news, and we're doing this. All right, then we're doing that. You hear the powers that be from MLB and NHL and NBA talking about, you know, what a shortened playoff would look like. News and notes from the NCAA. I thought Gene Smith, the athletic director of Ohio State, brought up an interesting point. He's like, there's always been this talk about playing games with no fans, but why would that make it safe for athletes? Wisconsin has decided they will not be allowing their seniors who missed out on spring sports to be returning and pursue another year with their teams in 2021. And he says this is unprecedented uncertainty. We tried to get our seniors to graduate and kind of get on with their life and appreciate all they've done. The future is in question, and there's just – he's not willing to make any promises. Seems kind of cold, but when you consider what's happening, not being able to play a sport right now as we speak, it's limited as far as how – broken up you could get about it. I went back to today, April 10th, 2019, and just, I think when the sports are gone, like they are now for the first time ever, and I get that, you know, during World War II, I mean, but that really didn't impact most of us. I mean, you had to be, in order for you to have vivid memories of rationing and, you know, the kind of fears that go with a world war, you probably have to be born about 1935, 1936, which means you're about 85 years old and most of the population is not. Then, of course, there was the events following the attacks on the Pentagon and the World Trade Center on September 11th. But you knew it was temporary because while the games stopped, life went on. Airports shut down, but people went to work, you know, outside of the D.C. area around the Pentagon and downtown New York. I mean, there was always, now that the horror is behind us and there's not a second wave of attacks coming, I mean, it was less than 2 weeks before, you know, the Mets were playing the Braves and football stadiums were packed again. And, a step forward was taken. But with this, there's no, okay. You know, sometimes if you have a really special event coming up, you have a calendar and each day you'll get up and either peel a day off the calendar if it's that type, or just put an X over that day. You could just, right now, you could be Xing out until Labor Day, if not longer, for when there's going to be more of a sense of normalcy. So, yeah, as far as eligibility and all that, and a potential NHL or NBA playoff, and the common phrase you hear is, while, who is it, Bill Daly is the deputy commissioner of the National Hockey League, he goes, you also, something we've talked about here, you've got to throw an eyeball to the integrity of the next season. Because while he said there are some who are willing to play, have a version of the Stanley Cup playoffs in July and August, and everybody's like, okay, so you rev it up and then you want to start would it impede with the regularity or the normalcy of another season? I mean, we're coming up. The NBA playoffs were supposed to start a week from tomorrow. So this would have been the last Friday of the regular season. And, I mean, you know, think about that. There's a lot of news being made, though a lot of it is just like, you know, Josh Hamilton, the former Cincinnati Red, Tampa Bay, and Texas Ranger. Man, first of all, he's 38 years old, and this guy has always had a lot of problems. I mean, he is a guy where the drugs and alcohol is the demon. I mean, he had a deal with, I forget which team, because he was a top prospect, one of the top prospects ever. And he was so prone to benders that he was not allowed to have like a credit card, a debit card. He could have his ID on him and then like $20 at max, because he would be known to just disappear and go on a coke and a crack and a drinking binge. And, you know, he had lots of problems. It's amazing that now at 38, he's been out of the league almost five full years and only played 50 games his last season with the Rangers. Well, now the JAG has been indicted. This is a felony charge out of Fort Worth, a felony charge of injury to a child. His teen daughter accused him of beating her. He is out on bond. One of the detectives at the Keller PD said he went on a rampage. She made a comment that upset him. He threw a water bottle overhand, hit her in the chest, cursed, shouted at her, pulled away the chair she was sitting on, threw it, broke the chair, grabbed her by the shoulders, lifted her from the chair, fell to the floor. He threw her over his shoulder and carried her up to the room. And she said that after her father finished hitting her, he told her, "I hope you go in front of an effing judge and tell him what a terrible dad I am so I don't have to see you anymore." So, that's some pleasant off-season stuff, don't you think? What else we got? I want to talk about one of these chuckleheads on Twitter. Some new NFL rules. I mentioned what a difference a year makes. Last night, I forgot who it was on Twitter, sent me a message that the 1979 All-Star Game, MLB All-Star Game, was en route because it was at the Kingdom. And there were 15 Hall of Famers in that game. I don't know what the record is. I guess we can go back. I mean, some of those games in the late 60s, early 70s, I mean, were just absolutely loaded when you think of, you know, outfields of Mays, Aaron, Clemente. I mean, just a starting outfield for the National League. Just absolutely, you know, you guys like Ernie Banks and Johnny Bench, and it's just like, was the whole team, and, you know, Hall of Fame pitchers like Juan Marichal and Tom Seaver, Bob Gibson. That game was featured one of the just the great throws you'll ever see. I think it was in the eighth inning. Dave Parker's playing right field. It's the year that the We Are Family Pirates won their last World Series. They won two in the 70s to start it in 71, to end it in 79. And so Reggie Jackson was year three on the Yankees, and he got walked. So Brian Downing is on second. Bruce Sutter, the legendary split baller, is on the hill. Craig Nettles, the Yankee third baseman at the time, hits a rope into right field. Parker just charges, picks, fires. The ball traveled 275 feet all in the air and nails Downing. The catcher, a Hall of Famer, Gary Carter, did a great job. If you've ever seen the play, it's kind of legendary. It's one of those that show up when they do highlights of great plays in All-Star game history. Because Carter, you can see, tries to deke Downing into thinking that there's no play and he's going to score easy. And all of a sudden, he's kind of like standing, got it, tag out, bye-bye. Just whew, talk about a frozen rope. All right, if you want in, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. You could also hit us up via the text line, 321-0824 on Twitter at 953 the score for the station, for yours truly at Sports Talk 953, and for Nick back in the studio at Rick Nodgers. So the tweet about Oregon football versus North Dakota State, which will be the, knock on wood, 2020 opener at Autzen. His handle is at Paid Tourist. I don't know what it has to do with anything, or if some people are just trolls, I guess. If you go to his Twitter bio, it's just, I travel the world and get paid while I travel. You want to know how you can too? Follow me and check out his website. No and no. But he chimed in with 100%. Here's the tweet, and it's referencing Oregon playing North Dakota State. And if you go through his Twitter timeline, I think he may be an NDSU, either a fan or an alum, because they've showed up somewhere. And he's got a decent amount of followers. I think, he's got about 2,400. So he's not just an egg who also happens to be a Jag. So here's the exact tweet. 100% of the power football teams Oregon played last year, they lost the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. NDSU, mind you, is more power football than all of those teams. And with a quarantine in place, they aren't going to be fully prepared for it. Okay, so his claim is this. It's like the prospectus. So this guy is saying Oregon got work physically by the power teams they played last year. And so are you having the same first thought as me is, if there was one consensus about this conference nationally in 2019, wasn't it that Utah was the most physical team in the Pac-12 and maybe among the 5, 6, 7 most physical teams in the trenches as anyone, including the SEC or Big Ten? I mean, you think about those monsters in the middle, Fotu, Penasini in the middle, both like 330-pound monsters who just stopped the run and allowed some of the speed outside of them to make plays. Their offensive line, you know, the pride they take in running the ball. The they had a 340-pound center, Nick Ford, a 330-pound guard. The whole line was just loaded with beef, and Oregon kind of beat their rear ends. And the Ducks went old school in that game. 41 carries, about 6 yards a pop. They held Zach Moss and the usually daunting Utah rush attack to just 116 yards, and just as impressive, 3.3 yards a carry. They only had 7 rushing first downs. They barely had 300 total yards. So, you tweet something like that out to make a claim, kind of be a ball buster. I get that. But then you realize that they're going to play. I mean, it's going to get revealed. The game isn't being settled in April during the afternoon on a social media platform. And at the risk of being completely dismissive, I don't think that there's an FCS team out there that can handle a top-notch Power 5 team just physically. Just come out, hey, your offensive line, nah, you're not going to be able to move us at all. We're going to stuff the run. You're going to have 2.8 yards a carry. You're going to force it to throw, and we're going to come out and push you all over the place and run for 325 and four touchdowns. It's like, what world is this guy existing in? And especially one like the Ducks. I mean, remember, what Cristobal took over, he made very clear he wanted to remake, and they've altered their recruiting, and they're big, and they're strong, and they're physical. And if this was the first year under him, I'd be like, well, I still don't agree, but give it time. Now you've got a third season, a third recruiting cycle for a high-level Power 5 program that continues to take steps towards the kind of football team a successful coach wants to put together. So what's the word I'm looking for? Schmuck. The guy's a schmuck. And I've never had – and I know a lot of people have been talking about, you know, why is Oregon going to schedule a tough FCS team? It's like, okay, because if they have a trouble with the tough FCS team, then you can't look at them as a real legitimate powerhouse in this conference who have a chance to make the college football playoff. And I'm not saying they do. There's still a lot of answers, starting with who the hell plays quarterback. But, yeah, I like how some people – well, of course – with people kind of hunkered down, some people decided to make it that, well, I guess they have stronger weed in North Dakota than Oregon because this guy is hitting it hard. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon fuel injection hotline, if you want to jump on in. Another thing, I do want to talk. A couple of you were texting. I know we have our hockey guys out there. The NHL is getting pitches from hockey hotbeds that don't have NHL franchises. Grand Forks, North Dakota, speaking up. Manchester, New Hampshire, and Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, about hosting a neutral site Stanley Cup tournament. Okay. The XFL has suspended its operations. They had to lay off all their employees, and they said they can't even talk about plans for 2021. And while it's not something that interests me, I mean, it seemed like financially, planning-wise, they were much more prepared than they were for the original XFL. Teams are talking about pushing the NBA draft back. What else have I not missed? Oh, we'll get to Tampa Bay and Tampa Brady because it's unbelievable. TB12, he is OOHM. He is out of his mind. And one of my favorite annual stories that comes out from Forbes, they estimate the New York Yankees are baseball's most valuable franchise at $5 billion. It went up 9% in a year. Now, I want you to think about that. When there's ever labor strife, once upon a time, sure, if it was the Wrigleys who own the Cubs or the Yawkeys who own the Red Sox, even early on the Steinbrenners owning the Yankees, you know, they had a net worth of $32, $35 million. And while that is an utter fantasy for 99.9% of us, it's like you in your head, you could envision, oh, $30 million, 30, comma, 000, comma, 000, dot, oh, all right, I could even write it out. I could tell you what 10% of that is. But then when you talk about billions, and even with baseball players making 25, 30 million, It's such a drop in the bucket. It's unbelievable. And by the way, the value of the franchise is almost 50% bigger than number two, which is the Dodgers at $3.4 billion. Only the Dallas Cowboys are worth more as far as, I believe, a North American sports franchise. And the Red Sox are third, the Cubs, the Giants. You know, it's weird, and I'm thinking back to the days of Brian Sabian, and you know, the Giants, even though they're in San Francisco and it's the fourth biggest market behind New York, LA, and Chicago, they were always kind of viewed as operating on maybe a smaller budget. I know they opened up the purse strings on multiple occasions, obviously when they brought Bonds in from Pittsburgh after the 92 season, and when they signed the big lefty from the A's. Nick was talking about him the other. Thank you very much. I wasn't even close. I didn't have a first or a last name. Thank you very much. But they brought him in.
Oh, sorry. I just said that in your ear. What I said to Steve, everybody, was Barry Zito.
You didn't have your mic on. Nice. Yeah, and Nick's been yelling at you guys, as far as you don't know, all show long. So take that. But and here's one. Miami, that you never hear. They lost value. They are the only franchise in MLB worth less than $1 billion. They're at $980 million. Kansas City, just over $1 billion. Tampa, just over $1 billion. Cincinnati, 1.075. Oakland, 1.1. So in essence, 1, 2, 3, 4. The bottom five are worth pretty much what New York is. But overall, the average MLB team value rose 4%, which is the smallest since a 2% appreciation in 2010. But still, I mean, if you and I are investing in our 401k and our IRA, and we're trying to be aggressive and, you know, build wealth through the market or bonds or stocks or gold or, you know, whatever method you use to up your investment, and you only made over the course of your portfolio 4%, 6%, you'd be like, man, that is too conservative. But that's because, you know, those of us who make, you know, normal, you know, average money, you're talking about thousands, then maybe tens of thousands, then maybe, you know, by the time you retire, maybe a few hundred thousand. But when you talk about being worth $4 billion and it makes 5%, I mean, think how much money, especially if it's a family who owns it or an individual. It's just like for sitting on your rear end and just continuing to own the team over a 12-month period, you make $200 million. So, and in the case of the Yankees, it went up 9%. It's astonishing. So it's just, I always think that there's a tendency for hardworking people to look at high-level athletes and be like, oh, stop your whining. But are you going to side with the owners based on what the numbers that we just ran? And like with the collective bargaining for the NFL in 2011, I remember somebody we were talking on the show, and somebody goes, ah, what's the big deal? Another 1% here or there. And I'm like, 1%? When you were at the time talking about $9 billion, 1% of that, you know, goes into either the owner's pocket or the player's pocket. It's a lot of money. All right, 284-8571. That's your Oregon fuel injection hotline. I do want to remind you, our friends at Big Al State Farm in Eugene, you can call 686-1522 or text 686-1522. They are reachable that way from 9 to 5:30 Monday through Friday. You know, once upon a time, I'd give out the address and tell you, you know, pop in, get a quote. Some of you would win contests and they'd hook you up with a prepaid gift card. But at this point, because of the you know, the scare with this virus and the ongoing health concerns, they're requiring any of the clients make an appointment to meet with them at the office. And they understand under what circumstances we're all living now, and with so many in our community going through a difficult time, they want to make sure that this new normal feels a little more normal. So they're working remotely, they're there for you, and they want to make sure that things are protected. And if you're unsure about your coverage, you know, give them a call, 686-1522. Also, check out their website, BigAlEugene.com. Really well done and put together and informative. And we appreciate their ongoing support during this most difficult time. All right, let's take a break. Come back. We'll have a Coors Light update and maybe hit the Wayback Machine with more Crunch Time coming your way next. 95.3 The Score.
Crunch Time on 95.3 The Score is brought to you by Guarantee RV Supercenters. Family owned and operated for more than 50 years. Visit them online at guarantee.com.
You have this little bubble of sports that is trying to look ahead, that is trying in some cases to save its business with minor league baseball, to salvage its business with major league baseball, or to advance its business with the NBA, the NHL in the playoffs, or the NFL starting a new season. You have all these competing enterprises that want to look at what's happening in the real world, but don't want to lose the perspective of what's going on in their sport, and it just feels almost greedy.
Yeah, that's Jeff Passan of ESPN, and it's a good point. I mean, everybody is talking about what they need to get done or what they hope happens, and it's all just like you could replace a lot of the rhetoric coming from certain people in sports in particular as want. There is an element of greed to it. Yeah, somebody texted me. I did see Alabama's quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. So he held a virtual pro day today. I saw some of the film, and I get for him a lot is at stake. I mean, think about it. The first round of the draft is in 13 days, but there were other people there catching balls he threw. There was a coach who basically was standing, making contact. He was handing the ball kind of like a simulated snap from an inch away. Four other guys receiving his throws, and it's like, what in the actual? And I get he wants to show he's healthy. He's only going to have one chance to be a first-round pick. I mean, but I'm sorry, it almost left me speechless. I mean, first of all, F minus for social distancing. And I watched almost the entire video, and maybe there were three or four long throws, but I'm not saying this for effect. I'm 59, and most of those throws under those circumstances, I'd bet cash I could deliver without more than just give me the day before to go out and practice and limber up and get used to throwing a football again, because believe it or not, I don't throw a lot of footballs. My completion percentage or my attempts over the last couple decades are way down. I would never be able to play for Leach. But for a player the caliber of Tua, who is in legit consideration for the top overall pick, the plays he was making can be completed in his sleep. I would say the average second string high school quarterback could have made every single solitary one of those throws without much problem.
Did you say that he was right now Tua is in contention for the number one pick?
Well, I guess so, isn't he?
I mean, yeah, technically, yes, every player is up for contention for the first pick, but isn't it pretty much a consensus that Cincinnati's going with Burrow? Like, and then from there, it's do you believe that Tua is healthy compared to what Justin Herbert is? And, like, that's the big debate after that, because I haven't heard or really seen any mock drafts of Cincinnati doing anything but Joe Burrow since basically he won the Heisman.
Oh, no. On a technicality, of course you're right. He's not going to be first, but he's out there thinking, well, you know, I could still be fifth to Miami or something like that. But the point is, what the hell are you doing having a gathering of people and getting an inch from each other? And although somebody said not that it makes any difference, but Alabama is one of the states that's not in lockdown, maybe. So it's not like what he was doing is illegal. It just seems dangerous and stupid considering the times we live in. How about that?
Yeah, that's very fair. I'd been talking with, back to draft stuff. I've been talking with my friends about it, and the debate that would have been going on between Tua, Herbert, and Burrow if Tua hadn't had his hip injury would be really tight. Like, I think you would be hearing leaks constantly from Cincinnati. We're leaning Herbert. We've talked with Burrow. We've talked with Tua. We had scouts out at this guy's pro day. We've called this guy. We've Skyped with that guy. Like, the debate between the three of them would have been really tight. And I don't know if you could really, if you're Cincinnati, if you could go wrong between any of the three of them. In a perfect world where you truly believe that Tua is healthy and he played out the final 4 or 5 weeks of the season.
Right. But so I'm watching the video, and I'm, even though I'm in lockdown mode because I'm doing the show from my spare room, so it took me about 10 seconds because I'm actually looking like, oh, he's moving around pretty good. That's not what the hell are they doing? It took me like 10 seconds to realize that this wasn't like on a tape delay that they had done 3 weeks ago. It's like, really, right now on April 10th. Hey, guys, let's get together at the facility. We'll throw some footballs and you get an inch from me and snap me the ball. Nobody's wearing a mask. I couldn't tell if the guy snapping the ball to him was wearing gloves. It doesn't matter. But, you know, football transfer to another person, it's like, oh, my God, what the hell is wrong with you? So that was my main problem. Anyway, what a tararagundi, I'm telling you. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, if you want to jump on in. Got a couple of stories about the NFL and rules. And yes, I know yesterday, I'm telling you, it's like some of you are taking notes and be like, okay, yesterday Tannen talked about this, but he didn't finish it. So tomorrow I'm going to have to get a hold of him and say, did you ever finish your list of going through NFL busts? And it's like, I looked at my notes. No, I did not. The reason it surfaced yesterday is because Jason Licht, who is still the general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the one who pulled the trigger in April of 2015 on making Jameis Winston the number one overall pick in that particular draft. And, you know, a lot of people now that he's gone are looking back and say, so, you know, was he a bust or he's a bust? And it's like the former GM obviously has a stake in this, because if he says he's a bust, he's in essence admitting that he screwed up. But I think that's a little harsh for openers. He played 5 years. His career's not over. I mean, he put up big numbers, sometimes big numbers not good because they can be incompletions or losses or, in his case, INTs. But, you know, 121 TD passes over 5 years. That's a good number. Almost 20,000 yards over 5 years. That's not, he ain't dinking and dunking. But sure, as the number one overall pick, you would not even want to be in a position where you could have this discussion. I mean, you know, he's not Jamarcus Russell or Ryan Leaf, or like I mentioned yesterday, I mean, if you even look at a guy like Tim Couch, who was the top overall pick out of Kentucky, I mean, at this point in his career, after 5 years, he did not have an NFL career. He did not. He started for Cleveland all of 99, his rookie year. They went 2-12. Then the next year there was an injury. Then he played 16 games, 14 games, 8 games. And at age 27, he wasn't in the league. He never got another shot. He played 5 years and was out of the contest. But, you know, you look at guys like Jim Plunkett. I mean, at this point in their respective careers, Winston is a way better quarterback than Plunkett. I mean, Plunkett would go through a revival and win a couple of Super Bowls with the Raiders, one in Oakland and one in L.A. But, I mean, that guy never really had what you can say call a really good season. I mean, he never – I don't think that he even made maybe one Pro Bowl. I mean, he was never an All-Pro. You never looked at, you know, he did win the Comeback Player of the Year and the Super Bowl MVP. And yeah, I'm not going to be dismissive of that. But, you know, he never made it to a Pro Bowl. And, you know, on his career, I mean, he had way more interceptions than completions. His completion percentage was only about 52%. Now, yeah, in the mid to late 70s into the 80s, you didn't have the kind of rules that so benefit receivers now. And if you don't hit 62, 63% of your throws, people are like, this guy is just not going to make it. I mean, he had seasons of 25 picks, 17 picks, 22 interceptions. And I realize they're not Winston-like, but, you know, he had 1 year where he almost threw for 3,000 yards, but he had 20 TDs and 18 interceptions. I mean, the Raiders were great because they had a load of talent, and at that point in his career, he had a big, strong arm. But, you know, it was their defense that was incredible. They still had, you know, great running games. You're thinking about Marcus Allen, Mark Van Egan on the 80 team, and, you know, just Hall of Famers on the offensive line from, you know, the bookends, Gene Upshaw and the Lester Hayes on defense with Stork Hendricks and Rod Martin, who had three interceptions in the Super Bowl. The other bookend I was thinking about was Art Shell later in his career, but still playing at a high level. So, you know, comparing Winston to a guy like Plunkett. And like I said, so I went over the years and went through the quarterbacks that were taken in the top three. So, you know, in recent years, I went back about 30 years because, you know, just to be able to gather more data. And just the guys who went one, Matt Stafford, Sam Bradford, Cam Newton, Andrew Luck, Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Jamarcus Russell, Michael Vick, David Carr, Carson Palmer, Eli Manning, Alex Smith. And I went back as far as also Peyton Manning, Drew Bledsoe, Jeff George, Troy Aikman. The guys who went two, Rick Meyer, Ryan Leaf, Donovan McNabb, RG3, Marcus, Carson Wentz, Mitch Trubisky. At three, you had Heath Shuler, Steve McNair, Akili Smith, Joey Harrington, Vince Young, Matt Ryan, and then more recently, Blake Bortles and Sam Darnold. Carr, who started 5 years for Houston, won 22 games, 49 TDs against 65 picks. He was never a starter again. Heath Shuler went three to Washington. He lost out to a seventh rounder eventually. Gus Frerotte got traded to New Orleans, hurt his foot, didn't even play 5 years. Did spend 7 years in the House of Representatives as a moderate Democrat as part of the Blue Dog movement, crushed it in real estate, and now he's a lobbyist for a company called Duke Energy. Great college player, bad NFL player, really successful in the business world. Rick Meyer, another overrated Golden Domer who went to Seattle in 93, was handed the starter's gig, started all 16 games. The year before, under Tom Flores, they'd gone 2-14 with the duet of Stan Gelbaugh and Kelly Stouffer at quarterback. Then his second year, 6-10. Then with Dan McGuire out of San Diego State, they kind of split time. Dennis Erickson took over. Meyer ended up with 13 TDs, 21 picks. And then he would share time with John Freeze. The team went 7-9. And then the next year they brought in Warren Moon to start. Meyer spent some time with the Bears, Jets, Niners, but barely played and was out. So do you consider that a bust? I guess everything is relative. All right, 284-8571. The Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll wrap up Crunch Time on a Friday with the Tool Shed next. 95.3 The Score.
We're running. riding the waves of technology just for you. You can call the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline at 284-8571. Text 321-0824. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953.
With what is going on in this country and in this world, listen, the availability of testing, of rapid response testing, is essential to any of these sports playing again. And if we still have hospitals and nursing homes and clinics where people can't get tested, we're not going to play professional sports. It's not going to come back.
Yeah, that's a Woj bomb. Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN bringing it up. It's like, until there's testing and people know, are you going to go to a game? I'm not. But anyway, we welcome you back to Crunch Time. 95.3 The Score. One of the funniest things I've read on Twitter today is the handle doesn't matter. I'm so ready for my bank account to say $1,201.45. Think about that for a second. All right, folks, let's lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We have reached that time on a Friday when we wrap Crunch Time with some worthy nominees for the tool shed. And we've got a trio. But first, as always, let's bring in the landlord with the key and open up the Crunch Time tool shed.
I love this city. I love being a Yankee.
Oh, that laugh still gets me. All right, let's start with UFC's Dana White. So he's got this big, bold idea, UFC 249, which was supposed to be a week from tomorrow on pay-per-view. He was going forward regardless of this deadly international pandemic. He was all set. He told reporters earlier this week he'd secured a location, a place called Lemoore, California, apparently near Fresno. And for the record, the California State Athletic Commission has canceled all combat events through the end of May, May 31st. But because this was to take place at the Tachi Palace Casino, it was on tribal land, thus exempt. And White kept insisting it was safe, despite almost everybody else, including the experts, saying, there's no way to know. But eventually he said, I got a phone call from the highest level of ESPN and Disney that he should stand down. So logic, science, safety, and health won out. Who'd have thunk, right? Next up, Tom Brady and the folks at TB12. You know, we know they've come up with some odd branding and ways to cash in on him being, you know, Tom freaking Brady. From a cookbook to trying to steal Tom Terrific from New York Met Hall of Famer Tom Seaver. And now that he's a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I guess we can do the math and add it all up, it's really cheesy. So there's Tampa Bay, TB, Tom Brady. Okay, I get that. So they've also asked a trademark on TB times TB. So it would be on, if you had a hat, it would say TBX for the multiplication symbol, TB. Okay, and this is for clothing, headwear, footwear. His next one is Tampa Bay. Yes, T-O-M-P-A. B-A-Y, and Tampa Brady. You heard right, Tampa Brady. I've heard of the Tampa 2. It's a version of a cover 2 defense, but Tampa Bay sounds, I don't know, I want to say snooty. I'm from Tampa Bay, but Tampa Brady, you know, I get if his last name was Beatty, but Brady? And get this, there's a guy in Phoenix who, when the move was made and Brady signed with the Bucks, he applied for Tampa Bay Beach Club and Tampa Bay, Florida, also for use on apparel. My question is, who's really going to buy some of this? Because it sounds like crap. All right. Lastly,
the way you said Tom Bobury very like eloquently, it's how I imagine most people in England, if they had to try and say Tampa Bay, it would come out sounding Tampa Brady.
Yeah, it's really cheesy. And I got one last one to Drew Brees and the People Need Sports Now Club. I've got some really bad news, and I want you to consider who we are, what we do, and the station you're listening to right now. It's just not true. We really, 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 really want sports. We don't need them. It's too strong of a word. I mean, it's always been awesome when a challenging period of history surfaces to have sports as the proverbial distraction, but sorry, it doesn't fall into the need category. We need food, we need air, we need health, we need to pay attention, we need to adhere to the experts. You know, if you think about the All-American League that was featured in the movie League of Their Own, you know, that was formed because of World War II and the possibility Franklin Delano Roosevelt and the government might shut down Major League Baseball. We know war has canceled major events, but this whole we need – what we need to do is focus all of our efforts in this war to beat this freaking thing. Nothing else really matters. If you're dead, the economy and the Lakers not getting a chance to win a title with LeBron, that doesn't really come into play. So I'd be a little more cautious of using need when want is warranted. It's dangerous. I don't know. I'm thinking the tool here is Dana White. So there. There you go. I've usually been an admirer of his. I mean, the guy that took that and turned it into what, a $2 billion industry is to be admired. But yeah, safety first. The minute you stop thinking about safety first, I'm like, nah, sorry, folks. I ain't in on that. Just ain't going to happen. All right. I want to so we got to close. There you go. Let's before we run away. Let's close the crunch time. Bullshit.
My only focus is to play baseball, and to play baseball the right way. That was silly and unprofessional.
He gone!
He's history. He's in the archives. All right, so that's your official wrap for Crunch Time on Friday. Sports Talk is pending. Like I always say, Crunch Time now a memory, Sports Talk a promise. We've got a couple of flashback interviews that I'd like to get to. Going back to last year when we spoke with Virginia radio analyst Jimmy Miller leading up to their Sweet 16 battle with the Ducks, and Ronnie Lott, who was with the Pac-12 network and we spoke to before the Michigan State game in 2014. That's pending. 95-3 The Score.